Don't even bother asking. You already know. It's me. I definitely planned to be here for this episode the whole time. Who are the slackers who I had to wait on?
This is not the third time we've attempted to do this, and it's going great, and we're having fun, and we're really happy we have a podcast. This is Brent.
I'm Lindsay, and I was stuck in the Upside Down for a second, and I finally made it to the podcast.
Wow.
Wow, a Stranger Things reference.
Okay. Right off the bat. You take away half the coolness of the reference if you just say what it's from, Brent.
That's what I do.
Today's segments. Mini Qualgorithm. A hypothetical, because what's a podcast without a hypothetical? And segment C. And as we all know, C is for everyday trivia. And that brings us to today's bombastic word, pandiculation, which is a stretching and stiffening, especially of the trunk and extremities. So like when you wake up and you do that yawn stretch that always hits different, you're like, dang, why can't every stretch be like this? It's not just stretching. It's pandiculation.
I totally already knew this word. I thought we had just used it before, but now I'm remembering I just learned this word.
Mr. Cool Guy.
Look at this guy. He reads the dictionary for breakfast.
Yep. It's on the... You've never had Dictionarios?
Dictionary toilet paper.
That would be so awesome. Like, every oat is just a different word.
And just not the definition.
And if you get a microscope... It ingrained very tiny print on that piece of cereal is the definition.
Yes, ingrained, he says.
Pun intended.
Speaking of ingrained and because ingraining something, that's kind of like putting a crack in something, and you know, when something's cracked, it's kind of fatigued and it seems like it's gonna break. And when you're at the movie theater and you hear that random creak that happens sometimes, I think the whole thing's coming down. What's up with that creak? Why does that happen? Does that happen at all big buildings?
The creak at the movie theater?
Yeah, you know when you're in the movie theater and it does that sound? Like just the building just, you know, expanding and contracting with the heat or humidity or whatever. And I'm like, oh, we're all gonna die in here.
Movie there's probably something to do with like the insulation or the like noise suppression, whatever they're using. But yeah, I mean,
I can't picture the or imagine the sound.
You've never noticed the sound.
Apparently, well, it sounds familiar, the idea of that happening, but I can't. I don't know. Doesn't exist. You're crazy.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm gonna cut out the next like 30 seconds of audio. I'm gonna turn the Roomba off because it's picking up a ton. Yeah, that already goofed a decent chunk of audio, but it'll be fine.
We entertain them, so maybe we keep it. Maybe we don't. It's a mystery.
Yeah. Maybe I'll listen to the episode while I'm editing, and I won't just cut out random sections like I normally do.
The entire hypothetical is just cut. It probably wasn't important.
I figured they won't listen to the episodes. I'll just cut out random parts. I'll probably get all the parts I needed to like cut, you know, random dog barking noises or whatever.
You assume that we record hour-long episodes. We actually record 8-hour episodes, and Daniel just randomly selects various...
That's an exaggeration. They are like 2-hour episodes. I just kind of Thanos snap half of it. And, you know, I figured that'll eliminate, you know, all the bad. You know, it's kind of like that balance knife thing.
All things are perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Exactly. You know, I just take random sections of audio until I'm down to an hour, and then, you know, that's the episode.
Speaking of random sections of audio, my sleep schedule has gotten pretty messed up lately.
Wow.
And, how'd you do that?
I couldn't realize figure out why, but then I realized that I got into this habit of, well, I've been like working out more, but specifically like at 11 p.m. So like I'm very much awake after I get home and shower after working out, but then that's when I try to go to bed. So like I get home like at 12:30, And so like my body's all awake, and I do this because I like to consider myself not like a very like go with the flow when it comes to some things, but like for the gym, like I want to be able to use the machine I want to use when I'm ready for it, like to get into a routine when it comes to working out. But I go at the ungodly workout hour of 11 or midnight just to get that. And then I'll continue this great habit by getting into bed and pulling up unnamed language learning app so that I can learn. So like not only is my body still like paid us for active last time, so. I have to make up for it. Even though my body is all active, let me wake up my brain even more too. So I just end up like, I like turn off my phone. At the time that I turn off my phone, it's already like 1 or 1:30, and I'm just like laying there until like 2:30, and that's just gotten all messed up. So I feel like I'm becoming Daniel.
See, Sales. I really like working out at night. I really don't like working out in the morning. When I used to run, definitely running in the morning is the way to go. But other workouts, I definitely prefer the night just because I feel like it does get me tired and then I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
At least that's how I viewed it. But at this point, I normally do like 5 or like 6 o'clock. And so I don't, and even back in the day, I would only do like 10 p.m. Like midnight's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like going to the gym, it like, I feel like not to belittle your workouts, but I feel like mine are, I know mine are much more intense than yours. So like,
ew, look at Lindsay.
Big buff guy.
I'm far from buff. I'll tell you that.
But 100 pounds plus 100 pounds equals warm up. I'm Lindsay, the math guy.
I can know how much I'm putting on the bar. Ooh, math guy.
That's the official voice of the math guy now.
Super,
like the stereotypical like hunk at the gym. Oh, let me spot you real quick.
That's how the math guys are.
Yeah, just you know it. You know what else is math? Money. And I'm going to lay out some money for you right now. So here's the deal. Your landlord came to you, and you have a studio apartment, and your studio apartment is like 10 by 10 by 10 feet, right? So it's like a 10-foot cube. And he says to you, listen, here's the dealio. I'm going to pay you $1 for every spider I can put in your room. How many spiders will you let him put in your
room? You said a dollar?
$1 per spider.
Is it predictable what kind of spider?
It's non-venomous and, it's non-venomous.
Oh,
and we're getting like they're smaller than a square inch, like around a square inch.
Here's the thing. I could put up with it if it was just the spiders, but spiders means webs. I just don't think I push that far.
Well, like there's there's certain sprays that will kill spiders, right? And not just like.
Oh, I haven't put. Well, hold on. So I haven't put 100 million spiders in my room, and then I fumigate it.
So there's a volume limit. So there are a couple restrictions, right? So there's a volume limit. You cannot fit more than 10 million spiders in. This isn't the actual math, but you cannot fit more than 10 million spiders in this room. Let's say, and so like if you want 10 million spiders, that is literally every single like. The entire room is filled with spiders. Like you cannot enter the room because there are so many spiders. And so you cannot fumigate the room. You cannot use a mass killing method, an indirect mass killing method, if that makes sense.
So you
can like leave the door open and hope they leave or something, but you can't.
Wait,
but I also can't take the money and
you know, just
rent out another apartment. Yeah, that was another restriction. you cannot move to a different apartment. Like, you must still, like, if you want to sleep, you have to sleep in that apartment.
Am I allowed to obtain, like, a fully sealed, like, hazmat-like suit?
So I'll say yes, but honestly, I don't know how much that would help just mentally. Like, personally for me, even if I know I'm in the hazmat suit, the entire time I'd just be thinking there's a hole in the suit.
And dude, you know what? Lindsay has a point. I take the money, I get a fully sealed suit, and then I just carry spiders by the armful out of my apartment. Well,
yeah, but here's the thing. So back to the original question. How many spiders are you putting in there?
10 million.
Or you're going, literally, you open the door and they just start pouring out.
Yeah.
Do I get rid of
at least 900,000 of them, right?
Okay, hold on. is there some passive income with this? So like if any of them mate, I get a dollar for every spider that's born?
No. Those don't count. If they mate and a 10 million more spiders end up in your room, you're only getting paid for the original 10 million.
Here's the thing. I don't need passive income with $10 million. I can create passive income once I have the 10 mil.
So, right? So there's like, I just have to live there. I don't have any, like, after a week I can leave type deal.
No, you are living there.
This is quite the contract that I'm stuck in.
Daniel's bold going 10 mil. Because the other thing is, if you go 10 mil, I don't think you could ever live in that room and know 100% certain that you got all of them.
Well, can you know about that with any room you go into right now, that there's no spiders in there?
They kill all the pests, and, you know, I'll just name all of them. I'll become friends with them.
Let's hear you come up with 10 million names. We've got time in this 8-hour podcast.
Pete. PD, Peter, Peterino, Pesto, Petrifico. Those are all male names, probably.
Wow, sexist.
Every word he says that seems like Patricia, a casual word in a sentence,
Patsy,
is also a name.
The rest of this episode, any word he says is actually just a name of a spider.
No, for the rest of the lifespan of the podcast, every word is...
How many words do you think each of us individually has said? Brent, give your guess for each of the three of us. How many words have we said? Actually, Lindsay, give the guess for all three of us.
All three of us combined, or each one of us individually?
Yeah, how many words have I said? How many words has Brent said? How many words have you said?
The order...
Is this all time or this
episode?
All time.
The order at which you just listed off the names is the order from greatest amount to least amount. I'll tell you that.
I've talked the most, do you think?
No, Brent has talked the most, then you.
Seems unlikely.
And then me. 100%. Without a doubt.
That seems probable. Give an estimate. Like a, you know, kind of jar of jelly beans kind of deal. Well, you know.
You're about to say, I have no idea how you would even begin to estimate that. You're not a true friend of Enrico Fermi.
I guess, yes, we could use the Fermi estimate. But I've got nothing even small scale to estimate to try to build.
How many words
doesn't even?
How many words do you think we use in a segment?
Zero idea.
I would have gone by time because
it depends. So, you know, like in a given 5-minute span, I might say zero words. But across a segment, it's probably fairly average. Consider 4 segments to a podcast if you lump introduction and conclusion together. And then we've had however many total episodes. Oh, by the way, it's season 5, episode 5. For those who didn't look at the title.
Mm-hmm. Shame on you. Probably didn't read the description either. Oh. Okay, we can go into this later. I want to complete spider thoughts. So, Lindsay, how many spiders?
I'd say at least 10 million.
Dang, you guys are going full set. Like 90% of people I say or talk to, the most they're willing to go is about knee high, which I think that's reasonable enough.
I mean, the thing is, once Lindsay introduced the idea of a hazmat suit, I mean, it was all bars held, no longer held, as they say.
Let's say so. If there's no hazmat suit, are you willing to only do less?
So they're not biting me. They're not venomous.
Nope. There's no danger to you whatsoever.
Will they crawl in my nose?
Absolutely, if you let them.
Hmm.
You can have nose plugs, though.
I think
they'll just come in my mouth. What a variety.
See, I think I would just, like, give... I think I'd start cleaning my clothes and anti-spider whatever. And then, like, I'm not, like, directly trying to kill them. It's just if they try to touch me, they're going to die.
You know what?
You're spider kryptonite?
Yeah.
Here's what I do. I do the 10 mil. And then I accidentally start a fire.
You burn down your own apartment. And you're not allowed to get another one.
That sounds like arson. I accidentally set my apartment on fire.
Because my strategy, like, I think I'd also be willing to go 10 mil just because it's like, I'll learn to live with spiders, right?
I'll become one of them.
My strategy is, exactly. But, like, I open the door, I open the windows, and just, like, leave it for a little bit. And then, like, after that, it's slow. You get a shop vac, maybe, and you go through, and you vacuum up spiders.
You think Peter Reno's going to appreciate Petey being in the vacuum? They're besties.
Am I allowed to have, like, a summer home or something? Because what about a family that I want to start?
Dude, the spiders are your family.
I was curious, what do you think that would do to the ecosystem of my surrounding house if I just let out 10 million spiders?
Dude, there would be no flies around. So, be kind of baller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess rip to anyone composting.
Yep.
Well, not rip, rip to the composting dream.
If you're ever interested in some quick money, just ask your landlord if they do spider deals.
This reminds me of one time in high school I found somewhere where you could buy like 10,000 ladybugs. And I was like, what if I just bought these and released them in school?
You would get in a lot of trouble.
They wouldn't know. How are they going to figure that out?
This is actually an admission 5 years later.
Yeah.
You were the one that released all those ladybugs.
No, I just thought about it. I was the googly eye guy.
You can also buy praying mantis. Like,
really?
Cocoons, I guess. I don't know. But they've got like heck a ton of praying mantis inside.
Was it you guys I was talking to about the spa fish? The ones that like... eat the dead skin off your hands?
I don't recall if we've had a conversation about it.
So, like, that practice, it's my understanding that practice is no longer legal in America.
What?
Because it's, like, inhumane to the fish. Because you have to, like, have the fish at the brink of starvation for them to do that, apparently.
Interesting. I've been to, in our hometown, there's a aquarium that has those fish.
Really? Okay.
To that aquarium in a decent amount of time.
It was like in the entrance too, right? It was like at the very beginning.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Cause I mean, I did like, have them do it in an aquarium, but that wasn't in America. So, and then someone else said it wasn't legal. Don't trust your friends, everyone. They lie to you.
Indeed.
Yep. Just
especially
like,
the ones you share a podcast with.
Yeah. Especially just the ones like, you listen to podcasts.
Whatever. Bombastic quote. Seagulls are different from pigeons?
Pretty sure we use that one, but okay.
Well, whatever. You got it twice.
You're thinking of as pigeons if, are different from seagulls.
If people remember the bombastic quotes. We could use one from last episode, and they'd be like, wow, look at that totally useless phrase we're never going to use. But that's the point. Anyway, hypothetical time, because what's a podcast without a hypothetical? So, here's the deal. Back in the year 1837, Michael Jordan, in the year 1837,
Michael Jackson,
they developed Michael Jackson,
Michael B. Jordan,
developed a dance.
Magic Johnson.
Maybe you've heard of it, called the Thriller Dance. And The thing was, is everyone got so into the Thriller dance that they didn't realize that they were causing ghosts to rise up. And so the deal is now, anyone who dies becomes a ghost. Everyone can see the ghosts. And all those ghosts have unfinished business. Because after seeing the Michael Jackson dance, they were like, dang, I didn't achieve that one thing in my life. But Michael Jackson did. And so they want to achieve their own things in their lives, and they want to help you out too. So if you help a ghost complete their unfinished business, you get 3 years added to your own life.
Two things. One, these are literally just side quests to life.
Yes.
And then two, do I have to accept the reward of 3 years longer to my life? Like opt-in. Does it have to be applied?
I guess not, but I'm not gonna, you can't transfer it. Like if you do it, if you help them, you can't give it to someone else.
But yeah, can I store it though? Be like, oh, I might use this, might not.
No, you have to decide if you want it or not. You can't sit on the fence. So initially my first thought, healthcare, screw paying for healthcare, right? You just gotta help enough ghosts, and like who needs doctors? You just need to help enough ghosts along your life, and then bada bing bada boom, you've lived to 107.
Well yeah, but I feel like some people can get really screwed over with like the intensity of the side quest, where if they're like, my life goal was to be an all-star random water polo player, and you're like, have not touched water polo ever, and you're already in like your adult years, like it's gonna take quite some work to get to the point of wanting or being able to be at like the top of the best of the best.
This sounds like a classic buddy underdog story.
Yeah, that all the new like Air Bud films, the dog's a ghost, the dogs helping other, I don't know,
there are all these spin-offs like in the spirit of like Air Bud. Wasn't there one where like it was a bunch of dogs that went to space, or am I thinking
like G-Force? Space puppies. What
I can picture the movie you're talking about.
It's like hamsters that go to space. I don't think I ever saw
If we're talking about G-Force, then no. I don't think they went to space. Pretty sure they didn't. Pretty sure it was just robots taking over. Anyway, I think there's a tier. There are tiers of ghosts, right? Because there's one ghost that's like, if only I could have lived long enough to taste an Oreo. And you could be like, I can fulfill that quest for you. No problemo. And then there's water polo guy, right?
Yeah. But
wanted to be an Olympic water polo.
But do the ghosts have taste buds? What is the physical form of these ghosts?
They don't have a physical form. They are apparitions.
Can they taste Oreos?
No, they cannot. But they can possess your body, and you can eat an Oreo.
Spooky.
Yeah.
This is actually the Halloween episode. We wanted to be ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually because we're taking a break till Halloween.
Surprise!
What was I gonna say?
So I'm guessing it just adds life to the tail end of your life, right? Like it's not adding to, this gets into previous hypotheticals that we've done, but like if it like adds it to like the middle of like your youngish adult life, then like sports would be affected because the top tier players in theory could play much longer.
Yeah, it definitely gets added tail end. Yeah. But, like, let's say you helped 33.3 ghosts, right? Mm-hmm. So you're living an extra 100 years. I don't think you're gonna be at a point where you are utterly useless in that your body has degraded to a point of not even barely functioning.
Yeah, because I feel like there are because if you can't guarantee health, which I don't think we've talked about yet, but if you can't guarantee health, then will it really be worth committing to this other life or this extra life? Because there are some people who get to 80, 90 and have all these health problems that they're just like they've fought the good fight and they're like are ready to go on, like if they're like suffering and always powering through, be over with.
Feels like this turned into we should like kill the old again now.
No, not at all. I'm just saying it's not as like might not be as valuable as some people might see.
Let's say like it, so your life like expands accordingly. So like the 3 years. So in like each, like I don't know how to describe this, but basically each segment of your life got expanded by a little bit of it spread out. So like you were like middle-aged for a little bit longer, you were a young adult for a little bit longer, like it's not you were 80 years old for longer.
Okay, I like that. So Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi are going to be playing for longer is what I'm hearing.
But do they have time to be helping ghosts? Because they probably gotta be training, right?
I mean, and that's probably worth time. I mean, you know, a quick little 2 week adventure, I mean, that saves you 3 years of youth.
Or one, technically one that's year of youth. Because we just agreed that we're going to split it depending on the time of your life. So like a year of young adult, a year of middle age, and a year of older.
Right. I'm going to say, so you got like your tier zero ghost, right? Which basically is like, I want to taste an Oreo. I want to go. Basically, like you could do it in an afternoon type thing. And then you've got like, let's say your tier one ghost, which is like, maybe it takes you a week, 2 weeks. You got tier two, maybe it takes you like a year. And then you got tier three, which is like a several year thing. And so I think all the tier zero, which is like do it in an afternoon, basically they become a ghost, and then someone walks up to them and is like, hey, ghost, what's your desire? And they're like, oh, I wanted to do a backflip or something. And they just taken care of immediately. So I think the tier zero ghosts are in and out of the market like crazy.
Yeah, and also at the same time, though, like, what if there's these like higher tier ghosts that wants to win a crossbar challenge against people on random Premier League team, and like Leonardo Messi or Leo Messi, sorry,
or Leonardo DiCaprio
or Ronaldo, whatever, would like they would be the ones that like the few people that would be able to take that up.
Well, yeah, I guarantee you one ghost. At least one ghost across time was like, dang, I wish I could have like seen Cristiano Ronaldo play or whatever. So I think there will certainly be some ghosts that they are definitely suited for, but there's got to be people who dedicate their lives to be ghost problem solvers,
ghost hunters, whatever.
Ghost, I don't know if they'd be called hunters though.
Busters.
I'll accept it. But
is there like some like
cannot accept for you know,
is there like problem. Some like what is it like maybe Mr. Incorporated, but you could like name like certain members of like such like with such goals as like different like animated shows or something that go after ghosts or something like Ghostbusters.
What?
Never mind. Continue.
Okay. You lost me as well.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if I zoned out for a millisecond and missed something important or just who knows. Anyway, honestly, this I see this as the easiest one. Someone dies and their only desire was to see Blockbuster come back. So someone makes Blockbuster come back in order to fulfill that ghost wish.
Because it actually brings up a good point. So like say there's this little shop on the corner, a little restaurant on the corner that's like going under since the owner passed away. The ghost comes back and is like, yo, like my dream was to see this become like a 5-star restaurant. Help me out here, dude. And like, so that restaurant like stays up.
Just how the heck did a surfer own a restaurant?
Just because like it was a ghost bounty.
Dude, a ghost bounty. That would be like you could find Craigslist, but there'd be a new Craigslist, but just for like ghost postings. And so the like ghost hey list. I want this Casper's to become a list, a five-star restaurant, so you get like some of the top chefs in the world flying out trying to bring that ghost's wishes to fruition.
I think we can shorten it to ghosts.
Ghost's wishin.
So how many ghosts do you think each person on average completes?
I mean, I'd say the more you finish, the more, like, I think it scales. You, like, get that extra time, and then you're like, well, I'm going to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Like, richer get rich type deal.
Yeah.
Goshers get goshes.
Goats get
title of the episode.
Gosher.
Would you guys dedicate yourselves to it, or just if you happen to pass a ghost?
I mean, you still have to like be able to sustain yourself, right? So like if you're working, you know, an average income job, you know, doing well but not like crazy, but you still have to put time into it. Like you don't have all that much time to be ghost hunting, ghost busting.
I like ghoshing. I think we need to copyright ghoshing.
Surfing on the Goshen.
Yeah. That the like
oh that, some that sort that's of the media. Name of the Craigslist, the Goshen.
I think that's an interesting idea of a Craigslist type thing of you just scroll through and it's like, which gosh can I satisfy today? Or just in general. Do you think I think people would be more than competitive, like fighting over it.
Fighting. Oh yeah, I mean the request would go fast.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if like you could get like shadow banned or like IP banned if you were accepting too many.
A restriction of ghoshing is you can only be working on one ghosh at a time.
Dude, you know what would be wild? What if someone got killed and then their last wish was to get revenge, and then someone fulfilling the ghosh has to like find the murderer, that it becomes a giant like murder mystery thing? That's a TV show.
The entire hypothetical is just a generator of TV and movies. Like, I think honestly movies and TV shows would become less interesting because of how often ghoshes would be in it of themselves movie or TV show worthy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, how many ghoshes are going to produce Killer Clowns from Outer Space? You know, there are some works of cinema that are just too
there's got to be at least one person that's like, my final gauche is that Kung Pao 2 gets made.
Oh, dude, then that would be mine. Please.
That's your gauche.
I want Weird Al to direct it alongside him. It'll be like UHF 2 and Kung Pao 2 combined. It's like a crossover. That's a dream.
Lindsay, do you know what your gauche would be?
I don't know. I guess like right now it would be like fluent in Japanese.
Why would that help you when you're a ghost?
I don't know. I just think those like I don't have anything. I don't have it. Yeah, it's unfulfilled. But like I don't have anything specific. Like an overarching.
That would be so brutal. You're gonna make some poor person learn all of Japanese in order.
At least I'm not trying to make them.
Doesn't
like,
have to be a poor person.
At least I'm not making some guy like. Be the best water polo player.
Poor guy who just wanted to be the best water polo. Yes. Do you think so? If a Japanese person who already knew Japanese came to you, do you think you'd be willing to?
Like, I think I would be a low tier ghost. Because that's the thing. That's like I don't have like any. Not that I can think of any overarching like life goals. I have goals that are, a lot of think goals that are short term, or relatively short term. Like. Finishing a degree, like becoming like being able to read and write Japanese. It's like I think if, as of right now, I'd be a pretty low tier ghost bounty.
What if the longer a ghost business is unfinished, the longer you get added to your life?
Ooh, I really like that. I don't know how you would determine that. Is it just?
It's 1-to-1.
What if it's?
So like, if you get fulfilled in a minute, that's 20 seconds to your youth, 20 seconds to your midlife, and 20 years to your elder life. Or 20 years.
Hot dang, I'm gonna... This is a great deal. That's an interesting... So that's like a an economic theory. It's like the beautiful mind theory almost of like... But so you want to keep it for as long as possible, but at the same time you're competing with others.
Yeah. Can you claim it as your own before you attempt to complete it?
So say that one more time.
Can you claim it as your own, the bounty, before you like start making progress to complete it, or do you have to like pretty much be shown effort to try to complete it?
I think at that point. So you can only be working on one, but, like, you can't claim it. Someone could steal it from you.
Well, I mean, like...
Like, you don't have sole ownership over it.
I mean, this was in... Was it in 1837 or 1387?
1837.
So, I mean, we've got, like, Thomas Edison's ghost out there and Nikola Tesla, you know? So, you know, some of the great inventive minds of the 19th century, they probably have this wild unfinished business, right? Well, I mean, I guess probably a lot of things they may have imagined technologically have been done, but like, what if Tesla wanted a hamster to pilot a plane?
I was just reading a Nikola Tesla biography, and they did mention that. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
But that isn't, so that brings up the good point of, so we're totally committing to the one-to-one thing. So there's ghosts out there that their wishes haven't been fulfilled for almost 200 years. And so if you can just make their wish happen, you'd get 200 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Of course, like, I bet some of those are like world peace or something. Those idiot ghosts.
Maybe one of them just want to pandiculate one more time, but they can't get tired anymore.
Or you could, what if you set it up like storage bidding, and you like don't know what the bounty is? You set
storage wars.
Ghosts. You don't even get to look at the ghost. They auction them off, and you just get a random.
I was thinking about this, how practical this would be, but it makes more sense this way. Like there would be like people selling off ghosts like genies in a lamp. And you're like,
yeah,
this lamp hasn't been fulfilled in 37 years.
Yeah,
it's also the count from Sesame Street selling it.
Yeah, so makes sense. Because that's, so like, let's go back to a tier zero ghost, one that you could complete in an afternoon, but you just hide the ghost away. And so you're like saving it for yourself.
Dude, imagine you're a ghost and you just want your one last thing fulfilled. You're just like, man, I just want to put an olive on the tip of each of my fingers again. And then someone just like shuts you off in a box. Like, maybe next time, sucker. They throw you to the bottom of the ocean where there's no olives.
instead of grandparents giving their children bearer bonds, they box up ghosts and they give them a tier zero ghost and they say, in 20 years you can open this ghost and
we've actually reached a ghost hunting situation where there are people just poaching ghosts and like storing them away, like letting them ferment, like, you know, wines.
Uh-huh. Ghost poaching is the biggest problem of our generation. You shouldn't make light of it.
It's a
ghosts
big
are
deal.
People too.
Were people
ghosts were people. Were, yeah, exactly.
That I can see the slogan now. Ghosts were people too.
That's like the Smokey the Bear, but it's for ghosts.
Uh-huh. Only you can stop ghost poaching.
That's hard to say. Ghost poaching.
I feel like there's some Ghosty the Bear. No, that's not it.
Smokey the Ghost deep.
Eh, I don't like it. Any final thoughts?
I mean, seagulls are different than pigeons. So
all I'm going to say is my gauche is that Will Smith comes to the podcast.
What if the podcast is already dead?
the podcast? Do podcasts have gauches?
the collective will of the podcast. I think this podcast has a gauche. If any podcast were to have a gauche, this podcast has a gauche.
Okay, say podcast didn't, though, and you became a ghost, Brent, and your thing was that your bounty was that Will Smith came to the We Bombastic Few podcast. Is that considered uncompletable if We Bombastic Few is no longer a thing, or just any up-and-coming podcast
he,
gets
he would just no he would just need to get our login information, which we will gladly give Will Smith if he asks.
We can send it to his way right now.
Yeah, exactly. We'll write it in a will. Get okay, here's
the first email we get from someone with Will Smith in their name, they're getting all our login information.
Yeah. Not just podcast, personal too. Bank routing numbers, anything.
Yeah.
The kit, so like I made my will, right? If I put Will Smith in my will, do they like go out and find him and they're like, hey, this guy you never knew left you everything he owned?
Can you imagine?
I would be surprised. That's a plot to a movie. I would be surprised if that has not happened already before.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some like super obsessed fan that has done that.
Yeah, can you imagine having your will made out to Will Smith? That would be,
can imagine.
Call that Will.
Can you imagine having no beneficiaries? Like you got here. All right, final tangent. At work, they're like, "Hey, do you want life insurance?" And it's like, "All right, this is a lose-lose situation. Either I pay all the money and I lived, and so the money just goes away and no one got it, or I die." Like. There's no scenario that's good for that.
You know what? I want to get this in recorded evidence now. If I die before you guys, I'm leaving the podcast to the both of you.
To the math to guy, you mean? Can you restate that to the math guy?
But who gets 51% of the podcast?
Brent's
here,
mom.
I'll make you a deal. I'll take.
Fair enough.
I'll give Shout half of them. A percent of mine to. Will Smith. If you give me the extra percentage.
So I'll give you're all my percentage to Will Smith if you give your percentage to Will Smith.
If the both of you give all of your percentage to Will Smith, I'll give all of my percentage to Will Smith.
And Will Smith will legally own the We Bombastic View podcast.
How does this always happen?
If anyone gives me $50 as a bet to do this, I would give him my 33.33% of this podcast.
You know, I think that's more than we've made on ad revenue to date.
That's why I said it. That's why I said it. I could either cash out or I could just take this money. Or I could do both before I give my percentage away.
Yeah. So, well, who sponsors this episode?
The
you
sponsors
had it. I interrupted you.
of this episode are RGB filter. You hear every day with people working virtually or even just in office in front of their screen that their eyes are straining or that their brain just feels fried from being in the screen all day long. And frankly, to me, blue light filter just wasn't enough. With RGB filter light filters, you won't have to have any of those concerns ever again. My eyes never strain, and I never feel exhausted from just staring mindlessly at a screen ever again. Pick up an RGB filter monitor at your local Menards today for 50% off if you print out a screenshot of this episode and hand it to the teller. How are your guys' RGB filter monitors treating you?
You know,
One thing you forgot to mention is the special procedure that they can get you a note for your doctor for, where they can put a screen in your eyelid that will connect via Bluetooth to your RGB filter, and then you don't even have to open your eyes to use it. And that's been huge for me.
So that is just a prototype. You weren't supposed to bring that up yet. Now we won't be getting any ad revenue. But Brent, go ahead and tell everyone what you thought of the monitors.
I'm just going to say it's very effective. You ever go on Twitch or something and you just want to filter out all the gamer streamers? RGB filter. Need I say more?
No. You need not.
With that, we have segment C. And as Daniel likes to say, and everyone knows segment C stands for Everyday Trivia. The continued version. Part two. Round two.
Hey, me.
So, like six or seven episodes, I think it was I'm six episodes ago.
200.
We went down a list by bestlifeonline.com where they share many names of supposedly common everyday items and things that people apparently don't know the names of. So we're going to be continuing that list today. And last time I would give the name and they try to guess what it meant. So we'll be continuing that practice as well. This first one is the IDEO locators.
IDEO or IBO?
IDEO.
IDEO locator. Is it one word?
The IDEO, yes, is one word. IDEO locators.
Everyone knows that an IDE locator is an international description entertainment objector.
Locator. Well, it's actually an ideolocator. And it's for collating your notes and ideas.
You know, you guys were extremely right, but the only correct answer was the IDEO locators are the name for the you are here markers on maps.
Interesting. Does it stand for something?
This does not share that, but I was just trying to think of that myself. But as far as I know, I don't know. Okay. A Brannock devices invented by Charles F. Brannock in 1925.
That's good. You specified. I was thinking of a different Brannock device.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of Brannoculars. So, yeah, the Brannock devices are similar to the Brannoculars, though, as Brannoculars are for spotting bran cereals. And the Brannock device is for creating the perfect mixture of bran cereals and milk.
It's really nice because it like the off brands don't even show up when you look through them. There's just empty space. But that you're thinking of the other Brannoculars
from the 1700s.
Well, he's talking about the ones from the 1500s.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah,
but you're talking about the Brannoculars. That is the tool that you use to get barnacles off the hull of your ship.
I don't know why, but I had so much confidence in you there, Brent. I thought you were going to nail it. No, it is the device that shoe stores, I don't think they still do, but used to have to measure your foot for the proper sizing of shoe to buy.
What year was it invented?
1925.
Before that, people didn't wear shoes. Because exactly. They didn't know what size they were.
Yeah. Okay, next one. The long strips that appear while peeling a banana. Sorry. I did go the way around. Okay, we'll skip this one because that kind of ruins it.
Not that I need you to tell me because I already know.
Phloem bundles.
I was close.
Phloem. Phloem bundles. Okay. This one's going to be tough. I need you guys to bring back past Weebombastic few episodes when thinking of this one. What does the Octothorpe, or what is the Octothorpe?
Hashtag,
yeah.
Nice.
I want to talk about bananas really quick, though. Do you guys subscribe to the belief that people normally, quote-unquote, peel the banana wrong? Or do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
I know what you're talking about. People say we peel it wrong because, you know, monkeys peel them from the quote-unquote bottom, and then none of the banana gets stuck in the peel, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and then they use the stem as a handle.
Uh-huh.
I do not like the things that are phrased, oh, you've been doing this wrong your entire life. Obviously, you've been using it correctly or effectively to some measure. Yes, there might be a more effective way, but you've been able to do it to some extent properly for a while. So if you're able to open up the banana and eat it, you're good to go. But I understand. I can back the idea that one might be more efficient than the other.
Okay, I have nothing more to say. You agree.
Continue. Okay. I think if you've been eating peanuts without the shells, then you've been doing it wrong your whole life.
And I think if you've been eating shells with the shells, then you have a problem. You probably shouldn't eat shells. They're not good for you.
And he's talking about the pasta size, the pasta shape. Pasta Next shells? One. What is a snood?
A snood.
Not to be confused with a sneed. A thneed, sorry. A thneed.
A feels snood.
Like, what's the scarf thing from
oh my gosh, the thing I literally just referenced, Brent.
Yeah, well, so I was confirming
no, you weren't. You're asking a complete separate question.
Well, it was worded to be open-ended, but
snood, snood is the cuticle of your toenails.
A snood is what you use to, it's the thing that puts out candles.
The thing that puts out candles.
So, yeah,
you know that, like,
breath?
It suffocates the candle?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, you totally know what I'm talking about. That's actually a thing. It's like a little thimble-shaped thing, a cup
on a stick, and you put the cup on the candle, and it
you give
the
candle a hat
doesn't,
that is like a plastic bag to humans, and they can't breathe, so the flame goes out.
That's not a thing.
Okay.
It's called the snood.
A snood is the flesh around a turkey's neck.
I was close.
Okay.
I was in biology.
The next one is drupelets.
Drupelets are,
comes after quintuplets.
It's like when you have a runny nose, but then it's like so runny that like you can't like wipe it in time and some of it drips off your face. That's a drooplet.
You guys are, again, very close. The bumps on raspberries or blackberries, which are fruit that are called bramble fruits.
I was close.
I was in the biology category.
Yeah,
the next one.
Plant biology, close. Yeah.
What are pips? P-I-P-S, pips.
Baby penguins.
A what, Daniel?
Baby penguins.
Okay, Brent, what's your guess?
I think you're going all biology, which is cheating. The pips is the medical term for a cramp that occurs while you have goosebumps.
That's like, I guess you could somewhat compare it, the very last part. It's the bumps on the surface of a ping pong bat pedal.
Oh. Exactly.
So the medical condition for whatever regarding goosebumps, but on paddles.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. It's whenever a ping pong paddle gets scared and has a cramp.
I feel like I want to butcher this. Philtrum.
Philtrum?
Philtrum.
P-H-I-L-T-R-U-M.
That's the Decepticon in the third Transformers movie.
That's
which vehicle did it transform into?
Surprisingly, a kayak. Which arguably isn't a vehicle.
Wait, hold on, I was about to go buy
I mean, it's a mode of transportation, just not a very effective one. It's no ATV, that's for sure.
A philtrum is a gas pump.
It is the groove between your nose and the middle of your lips.
See, I moved away from biology, and I shouldn't have done that.
The one time.
But right, oddly enough, the Decepticon from the third Transformers movies did have one of those. So, Brent, you're in technically correct.
Let's go.
So right, did, what did I say? Gas pumps. Gas pump.
give us a banger one to end it.
I haven't looked at all these, but I'll just give you the next one.
Cool.
Perlicue.
So, like, they call, like, when you have that one curl hanging down into your face, that's like a curlicue. So a perlicue is when you have a tooth that's hanging down further than the others.
I thought you were going to say, like, the curlicue is, like, rotates clockwise, but the perlicue rotates counterclockwise or something.
That would have been excellent.
So the perlicue is the, you know, in billiards, the eight ball, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the inverted eight ball is sometimes called the perlicue when you're playing professionally.
Well, the space between your thumb and forefingers would argue that that is its own name.
I feel like we should have really picked up on the pattern that they like are kind of going in a they are going in a pattern and that they are relatively similar to each other.
Yeah, wait, so it was like the like webbing the, between your thumb and finger.
The
and
webbing is
the bridge between
think.
Your nose and lip.
And you're happy and there?
There was the raspberries the, and the ping pong paddle.
Yeah, and ping pong paddle. That's very related, yeah.
Shut up. One more.
Final okay, one more. The glabella.
Glabella?
That's G-L-A-B-E-L-L-A. What forms in your body when you remove the appendix. The glabella replaces the appendix when it
oh, and like, it's a random organ that just... like transport or teleports into your body once you get one thing removed.
No, Lindsay, it doesn't teleport in your body. You grow it when you have
instantaneously.
It's not instantaneous. It takes a couple days. What are you?
It takes a few milliseconds.
I think wait, it was called glabella.
Yep. Glabella.
I think it's the little legs on whale blubber that lets it move around the whale's body.
Very close, Daniel. It is the space between your eyebrows.
Oh my goodness.
A whale can fit there.
The blubber of a whale.
Yep. Well, that brings us to the end, the sad end to another episode. But maybe happy, because this gives you hope for another episode that will be happening during a potential hypothetical break that Brent mentioned ironically earlier. Be sure to check us out on all the social medias. I have not checked them in a while, but history has shown that there probably isn't much activity on there. So give me a reason to want to go check it out. And then I can feel bad once I realize that you guys have been putting in the work. But be sure to do that and then like tweet us
also,
out.
Also, as a side comment, YouTube comments, like you get notifications for those, and so we almost always see a YouTube comment. And also, if you don't like social media, you can leave a comment on YouTube, and we're very likely to see it.
Yeah.
The fastest. I'll see the other ones eventually.
The first person that we don't know to drop a Cash App tag in the comments, I'll send $5. And the first the first person we know to put their Cash App in, I'll send $1.
By what means though?
Cash App.
But like yes, but like how do you want them to send you that information? Do you want them to tweet it at you? Do they want them to
Put it in the YouTube comments.
They have to find him in
first person in the YouTube comments.
Where's Waldo style?
Okay. I will one-up him by adding $1 to it. I will add one. I'll cash up you $1. But do Venmo for me, though, because I was barely convinced to download one of those apps, much less another one. So first one to do a Venmo gets $1 from me.
And this is redeemable once.
Yeah.
Don't mind me as I'm leaving a YouTube comment.
The person
right
that we
now
don't know, Brent, we already put that down.
Well, no, Daniel's giving me $1 because, and I'm going to claim I don't know Daniel. So
you don't know the real me.
Tell you what, the first person I don't know who finds me in person and says the phrase, the coup flies at midnight, we'll get a firm
gets a kiss on the lips.
The ghost flies at midnight.
Yeah, the ghost flies at midnight. Firm handshake.
One firm handshake. His hands are pretty sweaty, so I don't know if you would want to take up that offer. I'm kidding. I've never touched Brent's
premium
hands.
Handshake. I've never touched Brent.
JK, I've given firm handshakes.
We should keep that.
Any final thoughts aside from your Cash App and the gauche flies at midnight comment?
Leave a comment. Tell us what your gauche is. Contact us. We're lonely. We talk to ourselves. Between the three of us, we just talk to each other. And we assume other people listen. But
and we do that for 2 hours every episode.
Yeah, and in between episodes, we don't talk to anyone because we're that lonely.
Mm-hmm. The past 8 hours, I've been recording. I've just been hoping someone will. Leave a comment. It's my only dream.
Yeah.
Daniel, final thoughts?
Yes.
Those are some great final thoughts. Well, with that, everyone have a fantastic, bombastic week. See you next time.